I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Let's find out about him. Scott Mason, turnonthejets.com. You can read his stuff there. Listen to him over there as well. And we always like to talk to him about the Jets. And this year, I imagine the website where he is a part of over there is doing quite well because there's a lot of excitement and, you know, cautious optimism, I guess, around the Jets for the upcoming season. Scott, how you been?
I'm great, Chris. How are you, sir?
Great, great, man. I'm ready to go. I'm sad about Avery Williamson, though. What are your thoughts?
I think a lot of Jets fans underrate how important Avery Williamson was to the defense last year and what he brought to the table this year. I know that he's not as good in pass coverage as you would have liked him to be, but he's still a really good all-around linebacker. His presence is going to be missed. And while I know, Chris, that in a football game or even in a football practice, an injury can happen, the fact that he was still in there with the second team, it was a bad decision by Adam Gase and Greg Williams. There was no reason he should have still been in that game. And, you know, anybody can get hurt at any time in a game, but why exacerbate the risk by keeping him in longer than he needed to be in there? There's a reason they pulled the rest of the first team out. So this is something where they're going to have to get guys like Neville Hewitt and Burgess and obviously the rookie Blake Cashman, who is a fifth-round pick and shown flashes at camp, and have them all kind of pick up the slack and basically fill the role that Williamson was going to have. It's definitely a loss for the Jets. Thankfully, it wasn't Sam Darnold, knock on wood. I hope I'm not jinxing it, but it wasn't Sam Darnold or anybody like that, but definitely a blow for the Jets.
Yeah, I would definitely believe that defensively already with the pass defense, it's a big concern with the corners anyway, and you just don't want, even though, you know, Avery has his ups and downs in terms of covering, it's still very difficult for the Jets to find enough depth there. And I guess that's their biggest challenge between now and opening day, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Between that and, like you said, the corners, even the safeties, it's going to be a little bit of a problem because you've got Jamal Adams and you've got Marcus May, but May just came back from injury and he gets hurt all the time. There's not a ton of depth behind him. Rontez Miles is the guy they would go to, but Rontez Miles isn't all that great in coverage. He's a good tackler, but he's somebody that's a huge drop off from Marcus May. So if something happens there, they're in trouble. And then the corners, as you said, Tremaine Johnson's hurt. And even when he was healthy last year, he was really bad in coverage. The other corner is going to be Daryl Roberts, who's been a decent third or fourth corner, has no business really being the number two guy. Brian Poole's a solid slot guy, and then behind that, there's just absolutely no depth. I mean, and there were injuries galore on Thursday night. You saw Trayvon Vaughn. You saw Arthur Millette. These are guys that it's amazing that they were even in a position to be taking snaps with the first team, but that's what you saw. So Avery Williamson going out definitely puts a little bit extra pressure on that secondary, which, you know, any extra pressure is going to be a big problem at this point because it's one of the weakest units on the team, if not the weakest unit on the team.
Well, that should be exciting for the fans. Put a lot of pressure on Gase, though, because if, in fact, the offense does live up to heightened expectations, then you might have some games going late, you know, going down to the wire, as NFL games often do, and that's when you're really tested as a coach. The public is watching. They're paying attention. That's when it really matters as to the decisions you make. So he may be in a lot of those. Let's talk about the offense for a second regarding your expectations coming to camp and what you think now. How big a change for you?
Boy, I'll tell you, the biggest change is Sam Darnold. We all knew what he was capable of when he was drafted out of USC, but you know how it goes, Chris. When you're a rookie quarterback, there are the growing pains. Then he had the injury, but toward the end of the season, the last four games specifically, he was unbelievable. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the league for that month, and so you were hoping that it would carry over, and obviously we won't know for sure until the regular season starts, but if you look at what's been coming out of training camp, just how poised he looks, how well he's been doing, to the point where it's amazing that there isn't that much chatter about how good he's been because he's been so consistently good. It's not like, oh my God, he really popped heads today. It's been like that pretty much every day. So it's almost been a non-story. And then you look at how well the offense has done in those drives that he's been a part of in the preseason, just marching them right down the field. You can see already what an addition Jamison Crowder is going to be. You can see what Adam Gase is planning on doing with Robbie Anderson. We know he's a deep threat, but he had him running some different routes and just laying out the other day and getting first downs. And it's really exciting between that and Le'Veon Bell, who we haven't even had a chance to see yet, Chris. We know what a dynamic weapon he can be. Ty Montgomery getting in there a little bit. I think they're going to use him as a change of pace to keep Le'Veon Bell's legs fresh down the stretch. So between that and the offensive line hopefully looking up once the injuries clear up, and now you have Ryan Khalil coming in at center, which should be an upgrade from obviously the last two seasons and what we were expecting to see from Jonathan Harrison. I think if Gase can play to the team's strengths, which is Darnold and Le'Veon Bell, and even, you know, mix in some trickery or even some no huddle like we saw in that preseason game, the first drive of each of those games are no huddle and Darnold just marching right down the field. If they can do that, this could be the most exciting Jets offense in quite a while.
Yes, and that's in and of itself a victory for Jet fans who could use that for sure after being so defensively oriented with their drafts, et cetera, to finally have an offense that catches up with where the NFL is right now would certainly be a lot of fun. We're talking to Scott Mason, turnonthejets.com, Play Like a Jet on, was it Play Like a Jet 1 on Twitter?
Yes, sir.
Play Like a Jet 1. I got to make sure I get that right. For Scott, you can find him there. As you look at this receiving core, what are your thoughts about where they are compared to where you thought they might be?
I think they're going to be a solid receiving core. The big worry I have is durability, especially when it comes to Quincy Enunwa. Enunwa gets hurt all the time. That neck injury was especially troubling 2 years ago, and then last year, obviously, he had the injury that kept him out for a significant portion of the second half of the season. And so if he's healthy, we know that he's a yak machine, as they say, yak, yards after the catch. He's one of the best at it when he's healthy. Robbie Anderson is somebody that we know what he can do speed-wise, but if he can keep developing that route tree that we have seen a little bit of throughout the preseason, that can be a weapon. And I've talked about Jamison Crowder. I know, Chris, the last time you and I talked, I emphasized how much of a great addition I thought he was. I loved watching him in Washington. And the thing that's great about him is that not only can he be a security blanket, and we saw this in the first game when Darnold was able to connect with him, not only for a touchdown, but also on a key third down play that he took for a long first down. He's a guy that can get open for a short game, but also, in addition to being that security blanket, he has the speed to get upfield. So if he catches a short pass in space, he's going to go, and he can even get a step on guys. There have been reports out of camp that he's, you know, cooked a couple of the corners who, obviously, as we said before, they're not exactly the greatest corners in the world, but still it's something that he did a lot of in Washington. So I think those three can be really good. And then on top of that, you throw in when he comes back from the suspension from the first four games, Christopher Herndon, he's going to add another element as a really strong pass catching tight end. And then Chris, you know, the one thing people don't talk about enough is Le'Veon Bell. We know what he can do running the ball, but he is one of the best that I've seen in, you know, the last decade or two, as far as being a straight up receiver for a running back. Reminds me a little bit of Marshall Faulk, with how he's able to go one-on-one with these linebackers. And whenever you put him in, you know, in coverage against a linebacker, he's going to win that battle 9 out of 10 times. And I think he's somebody that, if he stays healthy, can have a real impact in the passing game too for Sam Darnold, not only as a security blanket, but as a guy who, as I said, with Crowder, can catch a short pass and really take it somewhere.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Bell is critical, and they're, you know, it doesn't appear to me that they're going to be a ball control team, but it clearly would be in their best interest if they could slow it down now and then. How much do you think Montgomery will play?
It's going to be interesting. I think Montgomery is going to get a handful of touches a game, mostly because I think they realized that Bell had such a huge workload in Pittsburgh. And I know that he missed this a year, so he's a little bit fresher, but they know that if they're going to be in contention for a playoff spot, they can't run him into the ground. And Montgomery has been doing really well both in training camp and in the preseason. You know, I talk to the beat writers every day after practice, and Montgomery's name keeps coming up and keeps coming up, and we've seen what he's done in the two preseason games too. Thing about him is, much like Bell, he can be a weapon as a receiver as well, because he played receiver at Stanford. So we've seen him do a little bit of that with the Packers. And as another dual threat for Gase, you know, Gase loves running backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield and make plays. And now he's got two of them. So I think you could see some really interesting gadget plays with Ty Montgomery. You could see some situations where Darnold just hits him with short passes or even catches off guard with runs. But I think he's going to be a really nice change of pace option for the Jets.
Have your overall expectations for this season changed since camp open?
Yes and no. I think that you kind of have to temper expectations in the sense that, you know, we know that the secondary is a big weakness. And we also know, obviously, that Avery Williamson is out. So that's, you know, certainly a blow. But all along, my expectation for this team was that if Sam Darnold can take that leap, which I think he can, sort of the way that Carson Wentz did in year two, I think the Jets have an opportunity here with a relatively soft schedule to win seven games at a minimum. And then maybe if things go well and if they get a little bit of luck here and there, maybe they're able to get as much as 9 wins, or, you know, if something crazy happens, 10. Obviously, this is, you know, barring injuries. I think that I went into this thinking between 7-9, 9-7. That's around where my expectations are now. Adam Gase said that he believes that the Jets will be in contention for a playoff spot in December. And that's really what I think the goal should be. You can't be unrealistic and think this is a Super Bowl contender. But I thought all along, after the dust cleared with the draft and with free agency, that they would be in that 7-9 to 9-7 playoff mix toward the end of the season. And that's pretty much where I think it is now. I mean, like I said, obviously things can happen in terms of injuries or guys stepping up and being, you know, even better than you expect them to be. But I would say between 7-9 wins is what I thought before, and it's what I still think now.
Well, let's finish with special teams. How big a concern letting the guys go that they did was questionable for a lot of Jet fans. They weren't happy with it. And now, you know, with the kicking problems that they've had and questions about who will be returning, et cetera, what are your overall thoughts about the challenge for Gase on special teams?
I actually was okay with those guys being gone. Andre Roberts is a 31-year-old career journeyman who'd been okay, but this was really the first time that he'd performed to that type of level. And for the amount of money that he ended up getting, I understood why they let him walk, because Brant Boyer, the special teams coach, probably feels like he can take a good player on special teams and make him into a viable kick and punt returner. We're going to see what Greg Dortch, the undrafted rookie out of Wake Forest, can do, because it looks like he's going to fill that role more than likely. And as far as the kicker, that's a tough one. I know Jason Myers had an excellent season last year, but he's another one that was a journeyman. A lot of people were very unhappy that the Jets signed him last year because he didn't have a great track record in Jacksonville. So the question becomes, again, can Brant Boyer, the special teams coach, find a way to get a hidden gem or coach up a guy and make him do something similar to what Myers did last year? Right now, it's Taylor Bertolet, who, it sounds like, believe it or not, was the choice of Boyer last year before he was overruled and they stuck with Myers instead. I think they're going to probably bring in some veterans. I know that there's been some buzz around Matt Bryant, the former Giant, the former Buccaneer, who's 43 years old, but was still pretty good last year. So, I know that it's always tough when you have a guy like Myers, who had a really strong season, and a guy like Roberts, who had a really nice season. But I think when you have a special teams coach that you believe in and who was able to take two guys that were journeymen and turn them into Pro Bowl players last year, you have to kind of trust what he says. And if he believed that it was okay to let them walk and he feels that he can find guys to plug them in and replace them, I mean, we saw this a lot with Mike Westhoff when he was here. I have faith in him. So I think the Jets are going to be okay. They'll bring in some competition for Bertolet at kicker, and I think they'll be okay. They'll be able to get somebody that can at least be reasonably reliable.
Scott, good conversation. We appreciate it. We'll talk again before the season starts, okay?
Sounds good, Chris. Always a pleasure talking to you, sir. As I always tell you, you're the smartest man in sports talk radio, which is both a blessing and a curse.
Well, I'll take that for a blessing, because I'm trying to be optimistic. Scott Mason, TurnOnTheJets.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.